Snapdragon Tavern. The time has been, and the time is now. Before you sit two broads with a story to tell. This is Winch Village.
Since the dawn of time, men have lived in fear of a beast most foul, the manticore. And since the dawn of time, manticores have lived in fear of a beast more foul, the common village wench.
In the depths of the jungle, a mighty creature lurks, hungry for its prey. Its head is that of a man with a long beard, but its body is that of a mighty lion. The mighty beast has a magnificent tail that stretches out behind it. The tail resembles that of a scorpion and has many stings which it uses like arrows to render its prey defenseless. The terrible beast lurks in the reeds and appears to its victims as an old man until it's too late. When it strikes, no evidence is left behind. It is the mighty manticore.
Legend has it that the manticore can leap great distances, even that of a jousting arena, in a single bound. From its tail it shoots spines, and it has a voice like the melody from pipes. This brute also feasts upon human flesh.
The manticore wields three rows of sharp teeth and fearsome lion's claws, but instead appears to prefer hurtling scorpion stings at its prey as if from an arrow. When one sting has been shot, it is replaced by another that can then be shot at the target until the beast's attack proves successful. These stings inject and paralyze the victim with poison. The beast is then free to devour the victim without a struggle.
My question is, how do manticores not run out of stings? Do they have unlimited supplies of poison stings? Or do they have to, like, stop and reload it like a musket?
See, my thinking about all of this was they probably have to hibernate when they go through all of them. Because that's a lot of energy that's going to have to go to just generating little quills. So I think they should probably just eat a bunch of whatever it is they eat. We won't go into the specifics there. And then just go to sleep and let the tail do its work to wake up another day and shoot some more.
Right, so it's like after a big feast of human flesh, they've got to go sleep and just take a little nap so that they can generate some more poison darts.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, in addition to consuming the entirety of the victim's remains, the manticore is also rumored to eat all of the clothing, money, and other possessions. Hence, whenever a person goes missing and searches fail to return any trace of their body or their possessions, the loss of the person has often been blamed on a manticore attack. So imagine you have to go home and tell your mama that you got robbed by a manticore on the way to school, and that's how you lost your lunch money.
It would be worse if you had to go home completely nude and tell your mom that you lost all your clothes and everything to your name because of a manticore attack.
If I ever mysteriously go missing without a trace, you can go ahead and blame it on the manticore.
Well, that's a good idea, but I think first we should probably make sure you weren't taken by like a just your general kidnapper, like you're not locked up in a cage somewhere. I don't think you'd want us going, "Oh, Manticore got her."
Well, fair point. Thank you for looking out for me. So, it is thought that if one can capture a young manticore and stomp on the tail hard enough, the tail becomes deformed and it isn't able to grow the deadly stings that often render villagers and travelers helpless against the beast.
That sounds smart, but I feel like it would just shoot you in the foot. It's like you can. It's like saying you can stick your finger in, down the barrel of a gun and to stop it up and it would be fine. Like, that's not gonna work.
I think that the goal is these like hunters of the manticores will go when the manticore is still a baby, so it hasn't yet developed the stings in its tail. So then you stomp on it when it's like, it's kind of cruel. It's like you get it when it's very young, like freshly hatched or however they're born.
That makes me wonder because they do say that like venomous snakes are more potent as babies. So like, how does this work?
Maybe the babies are the ones you have to fear the most. So, many say the fur of a manticore is impenetrable to any man-made weapon, but some have hypothesized that a manticore is vulnerable in its mouth. However, even if you could, like, deal a fatal blow to the mouth of a manticore, it is thought that the creature would simply resurrect itself because they're thought to have mystical powers. What say you to this?
I say it intrigues me. It's something so well documented, and yet no defenses are known to work. But I'm trying to come up with a solution here, how we can escape the terror of the manticore. Thinking maybe we take some young ones that have had their tails stomped, if that actually works. We raise them, we eventually domesticate them, and then we can, like, escape. If they die of old age, though. If they're immortal, like they say there's no defenses, then there's just always going to be more manticores, like, hiding? I don't understand all this.
According to Persian lore, which is where the manticore originated, the manticore can devour any beast, save the elephant, of course, without leaving any remains behind. The manticore is said to be an apex predator of the highest order, such that cannot be bested by any man. However, the lore says nothing of death. Perhaps only three things in existence can best a manticore: death, elephants, and witches.
They don't say anything at all about a woman-made weapon.
Thank you.
Hey, shady baby, I'm hot like the prodigal son. Big a battle, leany, meany, money, moe, and flower, you're the chosen one.
We shall now regale the audience with thrilling tales of manticore encounters.
One survivor claims that the manticore beckoned to her husband from the tall grass of a wheat field. The beast, which appeared as an old, old man, was screaming for help, and it was evident to the couple that the man was fighting with a large serpent. When the husband arrived, he discovered that the man was no man at all, and that the serpent was the brute's own tail. The man thought he could escape his certain fate by utilizing his years-long intensive training in the art of dodge the ball. His surviving wife described the next few moments as a blur. Her husband somehow expertly avoided the creature's tail spurs long enough to collect the courage to grab the tail and tie it in a knot. Just when the man thought he'd won, the manticore reached out with a monstrous tongue and swallowed him and all his belongings whole.
Leave it to a man to think he can outsmart a manticore with his dodge the ball skills.
Ugh. Always the man. But
pity
to be fair,
the fool.
He didn't know that it was a manticore. He thought he was going to get a snake away from an old man. think at that point it
I
was
suppose
just...
there is something to be said for heroics.
Yeah, it was dodge the ball instinct helping him out. It wasn't dodge the ball, I don't know. It wasn't foolishness.
Well, so are you saying that if you saw a feeble old man wrestling with a serpent in a wheat field, you would go help him? Because I would not. That reeks of a trap to me.
I couldn't say for sure what I would do, but I would definitely look for a body on that guy. If it's just a long neck swinging around, swaying in the wind, I would leave that geezer on his own.
There's usually something off about old, old men just hanging out in grass.
That's true. That's part of this that unnerves you the most, is you just see a head from a tall field of, like, grass or reeds. Yeah, I don't think I would... I'm gonna need to see some proof that you're a human first.
Yeah, let me see your human identification. I think that my first step after hearing these stories would be, excuse me, are you all right? Do you need help? Because, you know.
But also,
tell me you need help, and then I'll help you.
Would you take time to help an old, or take time to ask an old man who's visibly fighting a giant snake? Would you take time to say, excuse me, are you okay? Like, if you were the hero, if you were the dodge the ball captain 5 years in a row, you'd just spring in there.
I'll say this, I would take the time to stop and ask if there was any doubt in my mind that it was a human man. Which it always is when I see a human man.
9 out of 10 times? Or would you say 10 out of 10 times when you see a human man, it is a human man?
I would say that 9.5 times out of 10 times that I see what appears to be a human man, I think there's something fishy about that.
Huh. Interesting. But there's something fishy in something so innocent as getting beat up by a wild animal in a field and needing help.
Well, manticores are tricksters by their very nature. Let me tell you a story that my father told me, and then I think that you won't be so sympathetic towards these manticores, okay?
Okay.
My father tells me that as a child, my grandmother often sent him deep into the forest to fetch herbs for her alchemy concoctions. Because grandmother often tells me no respectable wench should ever be without her medicine chest. You've heard this.
Mm-hmm.
Once, to hear my father tell it, grandmother sent him after goosegrass and feverfew, you know, for the elixir she was brewing. And after a long day of foraging, father had just stopped to rest in a patch of lavender when, in the distance, he heard the whistle of a beautiful trumpet. Mesmerized, he left the harmonious music lead him further into the forest, where, unbeknownst to him, a wicked beast lay in wait. A manticore had lured their prey with their sweet flute-like voice, and now their mighty scorpion tail was set to sting. My own father's mortal coil seemed poised to shuffle. Frozen in his panic, father felt sure to meet his maker, when... out of the brush dashed my grandmother, brandishing a fierce sword and a feral expression, you've seen the one, and in a resounding voice, she began to upbraid this manticore near to the point of death. Before admitting defeat, the fiend scurried away, giant scorpion tail tucked firmly between the legs.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Your grandma is a boss. Did she ever see any other, like, manticores in the forest? Or did he, like, tell his friends to... not mess with that wench.
Well, grandmother harbors many secrets. She does not like to speak of the past, but I do know that she has fought and tamed wilder beasts than any old manticora. I mean, father, on the other hand, let's just say he's handier with a quill. I suspect that manticore ran off, tail tucked, and told all the forest not to mess with my grandmother.
seemed strange that the offspring of your father became such a monster fanatic. But I guess it's the strong imagination you inherited that got you here, huh?
Well, as a child, my bedtime stories were all things that father read to me from my grandmother's bestiary, so this is probably where my peculiarity began.
I'd have to say mine probably began when that dragon ripped me limb from limb and the town doctor had to put me back together like a puzzle. I could probably do that to a manticore now. It made me stronger.
Right. What was it that they stitched you back together again with?
It was the hair from an elephant's tail, believe it or not. Actually, you know, that's probably why I'd be immune to the manticore.
Oh, I believe it. Grandmother uses that stuff to floss with. Says it reinforces her bone strength.
It's all adding up now. Elephant equals immune to most monsters and magic. Me and your grandma equal most likely to make it out of any situation alive. So it's not us. We're not naturally, I don't know, immune to everything. It's the elephant within us.
Dude. You've got to stop likening yourself to my grandmother. You know she's asked you to stop.
I don't really care. I want to be just like her when I'm old and geriatric and feeble and elderly.
Hey, she is only one of those things. And if you want to know the truth, when you're old, people are going to mistake you for the top half of a manticore. I can feel it in my bones.
Well, then I'll just have to make sure to not hang out in neck-height grass, I guess. They'd send Hilda down from the tavern to shoot me with her bow.
This is sound advice for all. Do not hang out in tall grass unless you're looking to get shot by Hilda, who just so happens to be the best bow woman in the entire village.
Let this be the warning for any manticores that have tuned into the show.
Thank you.
place when her body was found. I'd be the choiceless hope and grief that drove him underground. The dreadful need and the devotee that made him turn around. I'd be the immediate forgiveness in your idiocy. Imagine being loved by me. How long can I? God.
reunion just wasn't that much fun. For you, if you can't help it, then just leave it alone. Leave me alone. Yeah, just forget it. It's really easy. I'll just forget it too. Coast to coast, coast to coast, coast to coast. I'll do what I can.
Welcome back to Winch Village on KHDX FM, Conway, Arkansas. I think my co-host Katie has a few hypotheticals for us to think about now.
The first question I pose to you is, what for you is the scariest part of the manticore? For me, I think I would say the scariest part of the manticore is the fact that their singing voices are really good. Like, that don't sit right with me, that this murderous, flesh-eating beast can sing like a little flute. I mean, just goes to show you that you can never trust a band kid.
I was thinking, for me, the scariest part is the fact that it's just almost human. Like, I just want to know, like, does it see itself as human, or is it an animal? I don't know. It's just a monster? Like, it has a human brain, and that gives me chills.
That's interesting to think about, because it comes down to this fundamental question of what makes us what we are. Like, what makes us human, or what makes us lion? Because I would argue that the majority of the body of the manticore is lion, but does that cancel out the fact that the brain is human?
Well, I mean, we don't know for sure that the brain is human. We know it has a human head. But, like, it does little monstrous things. So I guess it's not exactly human. It's just scary.
I mean, it has the brain of a human man, so I can fathom that.
Makes sense.
But, yeah, then it's interesting, because I suppose you could also argue the manticore is one-third human, one-third lion, one-third scorpion.
What's that, like, what's it sound like inside that thing's head? What does it think? Like, does it have morals? I don't think so. I don't know.
I think this is a fundamental question that gets at really the just eternal question that we're all asking ourselves as human, which is something that we could never hope to answer. in a 1 hour radio show. So yep. I'll leave us with that, and I'll pose to you the next hypothetical. Could/would you fight a manticore? And would you win? Why or why not? So to answer my own question, I would only ever fight a manticore if my grandmother was there with me, because, I mean, she's made of much sturdier stuff than I am, and I'm not about to go off to fight a manticore, like, by myself, because then if I lose, if I miscalculate this fight, and I lose my battle against the manticore, and I'm just swallowed whole, all of my possessions, no trace, people are just going to think that I disappeared and no one would know where I've gone. Devastating. When I die, I mean, if I die, I want to go out in a blaze of glory. Give the bards for centuries to come something to sing about.
Interesting. I've not thought about this in the terms of myself dying. I think I could probably fight a manticore. But would I? Not on purpose. But, you know, if they lure me into the weeds or whatever, I'm not really going to have a choice, am I? I don't think I'd be able to kill one. I don't think I'm strong enough for that. I think it would just be a matter of getting away. Outsmarting it, perhaps. Use my dodge the ball skills to do some, I don't know, some fancy footwork.
I don't think that I personally have the strength to fight off a manticore with my bare hands, but you bring up this interesting point of, could you outsmart it? Yeah, probably. You and I, we're dumb, but we're dull. But we have our moments of cunning shenanigans that get us out of some pretty sticky situations.
And not to mention, we have 3/3 human brain. This thing has 1/3. And I'm not trying to say that a scorpion and a lion aren't good fighters, but compared to 2 village wenches, I don't know.
I mean, there's a reason that we're one of the 3 things in existence that can take down a manticore. I'm just saying.
Makes sense to me.
I think we could do it. Okay. And I have one final hypothetical to pose to you, which ties in our discussion from last week. What would you rather fight, a mermaid or a manticore?
I'm thinking definitely a manticore, because I do have the advantage of not running out of air on land. I mean, a mermaid, like, it might be not as good of a fighter as me, or smarter than me or whatever, but if they pull me underwater, like, it's all over then. It's not really anything I can do if I don't have air. I think it's a little more even on the manticore front. I mean, we'll have the equal oxygen. Yeah, I could do that. But is it more likely I'll ever fight a manticore? Also, yes. If I hear music, I'm gonna walk right out into the forest and see what's going on, so I should probably keep that sword on me when I'm out a-walking.
You definitely should always be armored with your sword because of how easy you are to trick. I agree with you there.
Well, what about you?
I would rather fight a manticore because the ocean terrifies me, and we know that I cannot swim, and I would be at several disadvantages were I fighting a sea battle. However, on land, I have the advantage of knowing how to walk, having a full human brain, being a winch, and this is the key right here, I am not distracted by pipe music. I mean, if I hear it in the tavern and the bard's singing along, yeah, I can boogie, but if someone's just playing a horn, they're playing a little tune on their flute, it's not really my thing. So this beast could not hoodwink me like a coward. He would have to come up with some sort of different strategy to fight me, and I would have the advantage. I could win.
An honest fight. I think that's the key here. If he's playing dirty, yeah, we don't stand a chance. But let's make it honest. Maybe let's me and you play a little dirty, do a little trick. We'll win, 100%.
I'm fully confident in our ability to play a practical prank on a manticore. I know that we could.
But let's not make it sound like they're harmless. I want to leave our listeners with one final warning on manticores. This is actually from a flyer we found in the village. We regret to inform you that if you spot one, you're already dead. We aren't even going to bother telling you to run, call paranormal professionals, or defend yourself. It would be futile and only prolong the agony of your demise. Unless you're death herself, an elephant, or a village wench, then you're simply done for.
Join us next week to delve into the realm of giants. They're among us. Stay vigilant, wenches.